It's a hair after 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which the focus will be how you might use animal training techniques to train your spouse, mate, sibling, parent, or other important folks in your life. By way of a conversation we'll have presently with author Amy Sutherland. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Budos Band with a piece called King Coroba here on WMNF. This is the Budos Band with a piece called King Cobra, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live on the internet via the station's gorgeous website, WMNF.org. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the proof's in the pudding at our website, TalkingAnimals.net, where there's archives of all our past shows. We're podcasting on iTunes, baby, including all our programs we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, but the conversation we'll have in a moment with our guest Amy Sutherland, a journalist and author, most recently of What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. That book expands upon Sutherland's similarly titled New York Times piece about how she used animal training techniques to improve her relationship with her husband. That piece became the New York Times' most emailed article of 2006. We'll find out more about this, including how Sutherland expanded the scope of her training to include her mother, her friends, other people in her life, not to mention her dogs, when we speak with Amy Sutherland in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, also, of course, welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or email it dj@wmnf.org. Quickly, as always, we like to try to hit an animal news item or announcement or both. Coming up on Thursday, April 17th, there's going to be a very cool book signing and presentation by Gene Bauer, who's the co-founder of the Farm Sanctuary, and an amazing place, upstate New York and now a California location. And this book is at the top of my stack to read now. My mother-in-law just finished it and raved about it. The book's called Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food. And he will be at Borders Thursday, April 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. And that's on Dale Mabry. So be sure to check out Gene Bauer at Borders April 17th. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Brian Regan with a piece called Simply Enough, Animals, on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Who knows, man? I lived in New York City for a while before I came out here. My apartment was really small in New York. I had a goldfish and I had to keep him in a shot glass. No, it's okay, a little pebble in there for scenery, so. He liked that. He was like, yeah, this is just like the ocean. I like to watch when you try to turn around there. Filtering system, I take a straw. It's like a jacuzzi room. Oh, yeah. I think people are unfair to their pets, you know? Like putting a pet bird in a cage. That's pretty nice, huh? Get in there, Clank. Shut up. I'll be making the decisions. I was wondering what a bird's thinking standing in a cage. Hey, thank you. Hey, I've been blessed with the gift of flight. Appreciate the environment. I know how to fly. I'm standing on a stack. Hey, I've already read these newspapers. fact, I've whited out some typos. I don't know what animals think. You know? You ever knock over an ant pile? Isn't it amazing that they all start rebuilding it that second? They're all running around. You'd think, you know, there'd be just a minute, you know, where they'd all get upset. And you just knock it over. Oh, man! I don't believe it! Look at this! Even if most of them started working, there'd be a few hanging off to the side going, I ain't doing that again. Standing right there, just going to knock it over again.
All right, that's Brian Regan with a piece simply called Animals from his album titled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM. WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with the Humane Society's Michael Markarian, discussing their undercover investigation of a California slaughter plant and ensuing beef recall. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends like you. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and remind you when the show will be here, next air here on WMNF. That's all found on TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Amy Sutherland, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she's a journalist and author whose latest book is What Shammy Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage, a book that expands upon Sutherland's similarly titled New York Times essay about how she used animal training techniques to improve her relationship with her husband. That piece became the New York Times' most emailed article of 2006. That article and this new book were byproducts of Sutherland researching her previous book about Moorpark Community College's exotic animal training and management program and spending a year observing the interactions between the animals and their trainers. So much to discuss here, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Amy Sutherland.
Hi.
Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Good, it's going great.
Good, welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. That was a great explanation of how this all came to pass.
Well, good, but I'd rather hear from you about it, which we will along the way here. So as I did kind of allude to, the new book is essentially an outgrowth of the work you did researching your previous book on the Moorpark Community College's exotic animal training and management program. Beyond your own efforts to train your dogs, I mean, what's the genesis, you know, originally of your interest in animal training?
Well, you know, I think I was always really interested in animals. I mean, I'd be classified as an animal lover, but I'd say more than that, I've just been fascinated by them. And then what I found in training was essentially almost a way to talk to animals, a way to communicate to animals. So that's what's really grabbed me about training, and also from my own experience of working with my dogs and then watching people, you know, train all ranges of animals, is just the intellectual challenge and the personal demands it puts on the trainer of just to have, you know, just to teach you to be a better observer and to have a lot more patience and self-control, so that to be a good animal trainer, you essentially end up having to be a better person.
And with that, that might be a perfect point then at which to sort of, maybe you could just give us the nickel tour, at least for the moment, of the technique sort of that you, from that interest and longstanding passion, and then your, you know, the research itself as applied to us human animals.
Well, the thing that, you know, that it's funny about all this is that the way progressive animal trainers work is based on human psychology. So I essentially rediscovered human psychology at a zoo, basically. But the way they work, which makes them different than old school trainers, is that they teach, you know, almost exclusively with reward and only use punishment if, you know, they absolutely, you know, it's the last thing they reach for in the toolbox. And it just really dawned on me that in our human relationships, at least in mine, that that was actually the first thing I tended to reach for in the toolbox, you know, not a whip, but, you know, often with nagging or criticism or pointing out something I didn't like. And that was just the complete opposite way that animal trainers manage to get these fabulous animals like killer whales to do all these really complicated behaviors. So it, you know, made me pause.
Mm-hmm. And then the light bulb moment was what?
Well, you know, I started sort of just absorb, you know, when you're in this world of training, it's really like you just start thinking this way all together. So I sort of, you know, I had done things like started to lay off nagging and criticism and to try to, you know, notice more, especially with my husband, things that he was doing that I liked that I wanted to encourage. But then the really true aha moment, which I write about in the column and in the book, is that he often lost his keys, but what bothered me about that was that the way he would lose his temper over that. And I had always sort of joined in the search, either in a helpful way, or sometimes I'd get mad back at him for getting mad about his keys. But whatever I did, it always, things got worse. You know, keys went missing, and then the drama broke out.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like in a lot of marriages, these little things all of a sudden explode.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, I started, you know, listening especially to a dolphin trainer talk about how they respond when the marine mammals do something they don't want. You know, they ignore the behavior. And it dawned on me, and they ignore it because you never know what might be reinforcing to another living thing.
Sure.
So you never know how you might contribute to a behavior. So that's why they respond neutrally. So it dawned on me that maybe with all this attention I was giving my husband's temper, that I was fueling it. So the next time he lost his keys, I just, you know, I didn't engage, and I just, you know, essentially became neutral like a dolphin trainer and just kept doing what I was doing. And in short order, he not only didn't lose his temper very much, but found his keys pretty quickly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
we're on to something. Yeah.
There'd been years of that in our household, and in one moment it stopped.
Yeah, well, that certainly, as you noted, I mean, that was kind of the central part of the essay, and then obviously kind of how you kick off the book as well. And you just made a reference to something that I was going to ask you about a bit later, but maybe no time like the present. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about least reinforcing scenario, and then maybe we'll discuss at least one prominent figure I thought of when I was reading your chapter about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way, you know, generally trainers work, you know, that they ignore behavior they don't want. And this is sort of like a more specific technique for that. And it's used primarily in a training session. And if an animal offers the incorrect response, say, you know, a dolphin's been asked to jump and instead they blow off the trainer or, you know, just fool around in the tank, the trainer will just pause for a few moments and, you know, and offers, you know, as little possible response as they can to that, and then they'll just keep working.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just, you know, so the idea is that it's not fueling the behavior, but in some ways it's also a way to communicate that, you know, you got the wrong, but there's no big punishment or criticism attached to it.
Sure. It's just very, very neutral. And
yeah.
Well, let me just remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Amy Sutherland, author of What Shamu Taught Me, about life, love, and marriage. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Amy a question, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. So, Amy, let me tell you who, maybe it was just the timing of when I was reading your book, but I still think it kind of holds up and well. But as I was reading all about that and sort of that response, or really lack of response, I thought about Barack Obama and the way that, at least in debates, which is probably more relevant, again, at the moment that I was reading your book, but still even now, that he, I just think he kind of does go for that least reinforcing scenario. You know, Hillary or somebody or a moderator will say something, you know, fairly pointed or unpleasant, and he just has this sort of calm where he sort of just almost lets it go by.
Yeah.
I mean, he responds, but... ultimately, in some fashion, but it just really
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, you know, there's lots of people who are sort of using these techniques without, you know, realizing that there's a parallel in the animal training world. But, you know, I think that, you know, and often when people are asking really pointed questions like that, they're trying to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't get one, it's just like, you know, with my husband, if they don't get one, then there's kind of nowhere to go.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and again, you know, there's a certain calm about Obama anyway, but I really, like I said, as I was reading that chapter, I thought, wow, I mean, there's a number of people that, you know, sort of do this, whether intuitively or otherwise, but Obama really came to mind. Let's take, you want to take a call from one of our listeners?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on WMNF with Amy Sutherland on Talking Animals.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Well, it's great to hear Amy on the radio. I'm fine. I'm a behavior analyst who works with people, not animals.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask Amy what her feelings are about the popular thought these days that somehow reinforcement is bad for people. That there's a guy named Alfie Cohn who wrote The Punishment of Rewards, and that somehow using positive reinforcement to teach skills somehow harms individuals, whether they be, other animals or humans.
Well, you know, the thing is that, I mean, one, the science contradicts that, and two, you know, all the proof of the way modern animal trainers work contradicts that. Because they're able to teach a range of species and a range of behavior that old-style trainers using punishment never were able to. And, you know, the thing is, it also makes me wonder if there's a lot of misunderstanding about reinforcement in that, you know, it's not just being nice, it's not just showering things people with gifts and compliments constantly. It's doing it in a well-timed and thoughtful way. So sometimes I think people don't understand that element of it.
Geez, they really don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. I currently work with children and families, and typically the response I get when I talk about using reinforcement is, why should I bribe a kid for doing what he's already supposed to do anyway?
Well, and that also, to even use the word bribe sort of fundamentally means that they don't understand what you're talking about. You know, and it's like maybe people should do what they're supposed to do, but when they're not, you have to come up with Plan B.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, it's really refreshing to hear you on the radio. And,
oh, thank you.
In Tampa here, and thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Thanks so much for your call. So, Amy, let me ask you this then, because you know, you sort of touch on this in the book, but you know, I'm sure people maybe who might just be hearing about this for the first time now on the show, about using this technique on your husband with the keys and in other ways, and as I think I mentioned in the introduction, you know, as far as the book goes, at least beyond the essay, you did expand sort of the technique to your mom and some friends and other people. So
I'm running amok in the world.
Well, there you go. But here's the thing: one difference between animals, even really smart animals, and us human animals, is that they can't read your essay or they can't read your books, but we can. So which may beg the question, I mean, how effective can the techniques you espouse be with those who know about the technique and know what you're doing? I mean, I know that, for example, you know, in your family and maybe circle, Shamu has become a verb.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But I mean, at some point, all seriousness, I mean, you know, if your husband says, you know, knows kind of what you're up to, I mean, does that diminish the effectiveness or not really?
Well, you know, I think that that's a perfectly legitimate question, and you would think that it might, but in my experience, it doesn't, because, and I'm still trying to sort out exactly why it doesn't. But so let me, you know, my husband uses these ideas with me, these principles, and what I realize is, and he does it fundamentally, like when I get, you know, I have these occasional whining and complaining attacks, typically when I haven't had enough coffee or whatever's bothering me. But he does not, in the past, he used to offer all these, like, you know, ways to solve my problems, which used to make me irrationally mad because I didn't want help. I wanted somebody just to listen.
Right.
But so now he just doesn't, he basically gives me an LRS and he doesn't respond. And so I get to whine a little, and then I get over it really quickly. So I get to whine a little, and he doesn't have to listen to it for, you know, nowhere near what it used to be, and we don't get in a fight. And when he's doing this, I often sort of towards the, you know, I'll think, well, this isn't going anywhere. And then it will sort of occur to me what he's doing. And then I realize, well, you know, this is better than arguing, and addicted to wine. So it ends up just being a sort of a better way of interacting.
Right. Even though you're obviously at that moment aware that Scott is, you know, shamoing you, as we, I guess, say in the Sutherland household, et cetera. But so it's not only does that not bother you, but it's like, hey, actually a much more effective way for us as a couple to sort of handle what otherwise could be more unpleasant or lead to an argument or whatever.
The thing is, too, is, you know, if you think of the reverse, the other side of the coin, is when somebody's screaming at you, right? You know they're screaming at you to punish you or to intimidate you. I kind of forgot my point here, but it's just that, you know, you're still, it may work and you're completely aware of why they're doing what they're doing in the moment. You're aware maybe of why somebody's doing what they're doing, but it's more effective and pleasant.
Sure. And you don't mind it. Right. That's the key thing,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody kind of comes out ahead instead of the other scenario.
Right. Versus, hey, I'm on to you, and so I'm going to dig my heels even more or whatever it might be. So, okay, let me again let our listeners know this is Talking Animals on WNF, and we're speaking with Amy Sutherland, author of What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. If you'd like to join the conversation again, it's 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org. We do have a couple of email questions here. One including says, hi, Amy. We know you have a husband. Do you have any animals?
I have one dog, a border collie mix. I wish I had more, but that's all I have right now.
All right. Sounds like maybe there might be more on the horizon.
Well, spending all this time around animal trainers and exotic animals,
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to get a bird, but the husband animal doesn't want a bird.
I see. All right. Well, there you go. I guess there's, I don't know what kind of strategy you can use there.
Yeah,
but,
I'm trying to figure that out. So if anybody has suggestions, I'll
sure. But part of your answer, you know, raises for me at least another interesting point is given all the research and observation you've done in the realm of animal training, hanging out at SeaWorld, et cetera, how do you currently feel about animals in entertainment, circuses, SeaWorld, animal acts, et cetera?
The animals being in entertainment does not bother me philosophically.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the fundamental thing that I'm concerned about is how well taken care of the animal is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people often, it's not obvious to people about animals in entertainment, is that animals in entertainment, say like at SeaWorld, and then also I know of this elephant ranch in Southern California where the elephants are in a lot of movies, is that these animals lead not only very stimulating lives because they're busy, but the sort of act of the entertainment they do keeps them in really good physical shape. So more so than some animals on in zoos. So, you know, sometimes when you're watching the show at SeaWorld, it's easy to forget that these are like incredible stimulating calisthenics these animals are doing. So in captivity, these are good things for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly, I've got at least one caller holding, and that may be what they have in mind. I mean, that certainly would lead us to a whole other show's worth of conversation about, you know, animals in captivity and exotic animals. Because that place you alluded to, does that have tranquil travel?
Yeah.
Well, see, in my view of that place is I used to, before I moved to Florida, I lived in Costa Mesa, and just down the road from the fairgrounds. So every year you'd go to the fair, and at least the way I went, and the first thing I saw was elephant rides from Have Trunk with Travel, which I found extremely depressing. But anyway, so all right, well let's take some calls. We've got lots of people looking forward to talking to you. Hold on one sec here. Hi, you're on WMNF with Amy Sutherland on Talking Animals.
I don't know. Are you talking to me or someone?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. You're on the air with Amy Sutherland.
Okay. I'm 73 years old, and I have owned a lot of pets in my life and raised two children. I just wanted to solve two of Amy's problems, like, very quickly. I used to have a little, tiny little thing when I lived in California. I used to drop it on the floor with my keys, and all you had to do was clap, and you knew where your keys were. That's one of her problems. I would never get into that big brouhaha with my ex-husband. The second thing is, Amy, I don't think she ever keeps track of how many times she says you know, but I have counted so far 75 times in just a few minutes that I've listened to the two of you. That would drive me crazy, and it would have driven a husband crazy. You know. You say it a few times, but she used it 75 times in just the last few minutes.
All right. So we'll take all those things under advisement. Thanks so much for your call. And we're just, I'm afraid, very much nearing in the time. Let's try to take at least one more quick call, if you can keep it very brief. Hi, you're on WMNF with Amy Sutherland on Talking Animals.
Hello.
Hi. We just have a very brief time if you have a quick question.
I had one point to make.
Sure.
That it is my understanding that dolphins in captivity live on average 7 years as opposed to 70 years in the wild. So
that's not right.
No.
That's incorrect, yeah.
What would you say the accurate figure would actually be, Eamon?
I don't know what it is exactly, but I mean, I don't, one, I think 70 years is not the natural lifespan of a dolphin. And I know that in captivity, most animals tend to have longer lives.
Hmm. I'm not sure that's correct, actually. But, okay. Well, anyway, I appreciate the comment. We got other callers and other emails, and I'm afraid we're just at the end of our time. But do want to let people know again, this is Amy Sutherland. We've been speaking with her. Her new book is What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. Her website is amysutherland.com. S-U-T-H-E-R-L-A-N-D. And there's so many things we didn't get a chance to talk about, including that I guess there's a movie in the works that might star Naomi Watts as you.
Well, not exactly me, but
a version of you.
Yeah,
a doppelganger or something. Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool.
A much more glamorous version.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time to talk about that and other things. But, Amy, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. And again, one last time, the book is What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. Thanks, Amy.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, where you can check out our... all our past shows, podcasts, etc. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, Talking Animals baseball jersey. You know you want one. For the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune, it's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF. The end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. And let's see. Hi, you're on WMNF, do you know?
Is it Dogstar?
Nope, I'm afraid not.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hi, you're on WMNF, do you know?
Yeah, it's The Fly.
That's right. Okay, cool. What's your first name?
Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
Okay, Craig, I'm going to put you on hold and get your information as soon as we finish up the show.
Cool.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah, that's you two's The Fly. Okay, so we have reached the end of today's edition, as I said. And again, the program now airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back next Wednesday, April 9th, with a guest that's not 100% confirmed, so I can't announce just now, but it's looking good for someone very cool and interesting. So I hope you'll join us next Wednesday, April 9th at 11:30 a.m. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today hosting the Sonic Detour. And it's time for one more animal song to close things out. As always, this is Jason Faulkner with All God's Creatures right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks. Catch you next week.